Well, good morning, brethren. Happy Sabbath to you. Let me get my ducks in a row here. You know, when I come in from work each day, I usually settle in and I'll watch a little news. And it's difficult. A half hour to an hour is about all I can stand. You know, I listen to the newsmen, and they're talking about wars, and one thing that's unique today is that I don't believe I've ever turned on the news and seen so many wars going on at one time. I mean, especially on the other side of the world, it just seems like one side of the continent to the other, there's a war between some people somewhere. And if we're not watching about wars, we're listening to them talk about wars that are going to happen, or wars that are being, you know, about to be waged. And we listen to these philosophies from them about our own country that slowly is dismantling us. And it's such a shame because we know that this is a country that was set aside for greatness. But it's also a country that we know also is to fall. You know, I've been finding myself with this, internally, this sense of urgency. And I ask myself, you know, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough to be a part of this great plan that God set before us? So in light of the messages that we've had from home office here recently, and also really the messages that we've had here on Sabbath services the last couple of weeks, I've titled my message today, How Important is Each Day in Our Lives? How important is each day in our lives? And if you would, let's open our Bibles. Let's turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 34, and I think we all know the context here. Matthew 6 is a book that we go to regularly. It talks about us first seeking the kingdom of God. But in verse 34 it says, Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And if you'll turn over with me just a couple of books to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9, I want to read verse 62. I think we know the context here also. This is about the sacrifices that may come about when God calls us into His church. Verse 62 says, it says, But Jesus said to him, and I was going to give you a name for him, but there isn't one. This is it's unnecessary to know this person's name to make the point that Christ is about to make. He says, No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And you can also take reference here to Lot's wife, if you want to make a little side note. You know, if we look back, or if a farmer is looking back when he's plowing, well, I can tell you he's going to get off track. He is going to veer off track. Now, this is one of those scriptures that's it's a physical analogy, but it has a spiritual application. Don't lose focus. Don't look back and admire the things that we have. You know, they're valueless. And we all know the story with Lot's wife. You know, Lot had position. He had things. He had material things. You know, Lot's wife had her community. But they were told, you know, don't look back. And she looked back. We know that story. We have to remember what truly has value. Today what I want to do is I want to offer you 3 points to just add to the structure that you have each day. I want to give you 3 points to add to that structure. Point number one. Let's begin each morning with unselfish prayer. And I want to clarify that because I think we all know the example in Gethsemane. You know, Christ goes to the disciples. He says, Awake and pray as to guard yourself from today's temptations. And that's very important and that's very valid for us. You know, it's something that should be a part of our prayer. But I also like the example that Paul gives us in the book of Colossians. Paul addresses God's people in Colossians, and he makes this point to elaborate on the words of a loyal servant, Epaphras. And he elaborates as to the love that's shown for Christ and the Spirit. You know, Epaphras really has a good recommendation for the people there to Paul. Let's flip over a couple books to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. It says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it," and what he's talking about there, what I just talked about, "since the day that they heard this great report on God's people in the Colossians," he says, "since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And I think you read this, and what an incredible example that is for us to reflect love for one another. I mean, what more is there that we could pray for one another than to increase in the knowledge of God? So that's my first point. We should pray for one another about our growth in God's knowledge, and especially for the young converts that we have in our congregation, or any young converts that we might know in any other congregation we're with regularly. And also we should be praying for those who are considering baptism and those who are young in the knowledge. Within our prayers, we should ask God to increase their knowledge, to open their minds to the truth of the Bible. And this leads to my second point. Number two is we need to utilize our understanding in our day-to-day decisions. And when I did this one, I mainly put this particular point together for those of us who have to deal with the public, or even for those of us who have to deal with other employees where we work. I think there's also some valid points for those of you that are retired and are doing different things other than that. But for those of us who have to deal with the public and who are faced with those that are unconverted, who have no idea about God's truth or the love of God and how we are supposed to be as people, we need to make sure that we're installing those things that we're being taught, and that will help us to assure a more pleasing outcome. You know, and this is also an option, that it doesn't matter what level of understanding we're at. Because what does matter is that we're not letting that knowledge lie dormant in our minds. We're using it. And when we're listening to the things that God teaches us, and we're listening to the things that the Bible gives us, we're installing them in our minds and in our hearts, we're using them each day, then that's what constitutes growth. That's what keeps us going forward. If you can flip back just a couple of pages to 1 Corinthians, this is a scripture that we've used a lot in the past when it comes to talking about speaking, but it is about words, and it is about the words that we choose. And when we deal with people each day, whether it's at the business that we work at, if we're in retail, or whatever it may be, when we're dealing with those that don't know, this is good advice that we're given in Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue." In verse 20 it says, "Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature." And the only way that you mature in God's understanding is that we need to use what we're being taught. We need to use it in our day-to-day decisions. My third point. We need to take a little time at the end of each day and just evaluate ourselves. Just a few minutes. We have time on our own, wherever we may be. It would be wise also, before we took that time, to just put a prayer out to God and ask Him to help us to see the things that we need to correct. And ask him to help us to have vision on those things so that we can take another step forward, so that we can hone our character just a little bit more. You know, we just came out of a holy day season where Israel was able to stand and wonder and see the incredible miracles that God performed. Yet isn't it incredible that so many of them shortly thereafter turned to idolatry? You know, our hearts can convince us to do things. It truly can. So we have to make sure we're going to God and asking for His help when it comes to these things. If you'll turn over just a few pages to 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and in verse 20. It says, "For if our hearts condemn us, well, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." Dear brethren, I didn't come up here today with any lofty goal. I'm just trying to give you a little something to consider in your life. You know, my goal here was just to offer a little structure and just to help us to make cognizant decisions that help us to grow forward to the kingdom of God. So let me ask you again, how important is today in your life?